Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And good morning. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly subbing for Matt Dennison today. And let's take a look at what's coming up on today's show. The guest lineup is brought to you by Honey Baked Ham. Also, the Hoosier Report is brought to you by CC Power Sports each day on Big X Sports Radio. On the show today in segment one, we will have Zaxby's Hoosier headlines. Segment two, Inside the Halls, Alex Bozich will join us as usual on this Thursday. Not a good start to get tongue-tied in the opening comments. And in the final segment, Joe Glover, Director of Athletics at Indiana University Southeast, will join us. We'll find out all about the athletic program there. That's the show lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Get $1 off a boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Time now for our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines. Don't forget, Zaxby's does catering, featuring party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Headlines today, IU football back in action this Saturday. They will meet the Rutgers Scarlet Knights at noon in Bloomington. IU 3-2 on the season. They need a win right here in this game. A group named Pro Football Focus provides advanced analysis of college football, and the website has recently ranked all 130 starting quarterbacks in the FBS. And IU's very own Michael Penix Jr. came in at number 16. That ranked one spot ahead of Trevor Lawrence of Clemson, came in at the number 17 spot. We'll look at that in a little more detail. And now we know the Cardinals and Nationals will meet for the National League Championship, while the fans of the Dodgers and Braves had their hearts ripped out last night. What a night it was. High school football moves into week 8, Silver Creek at Brownstown with the Mid-Southern Conference Championship on the line. Both teams 7-0 on the year, undefeated. Let's take a look at some of those details. An IU win over Rutgers will put the Hoosiers at 4-2 and will leave the team in need of at least two more wins to become bowl eligible. After this week, IU will be on the road at Maryland and Nebraska, and then will return home for Northwestern, on the road to Penn State, home to Michigan, and a season finale at Purdue. Hoosier fans really aren't expecting a Rose Bowl visit. They just want a bowl game, any bowl game, and it would appear those hopes ride on Michael Penix. Against Penn State, Penix was 33 of 42 passing for 286 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he added a score on a run in what was just the third start of his college career. His first appearance in a game in 3 weeks and his first Big Ten road appearance. And playing before a very large and loud crowd in East Lansing, Penix completed 20 straight passes at one point in that game. That's good for the second longest such streak in Big Ten history, behind only Chuck Long's 22 in a row. And as you might guess, it came against IU back in 1984. On the season, Penix has now completed 69.6% of his passes, has two interceptions to go with 809 yards and six touchdowns. He's on pace to break Peyton Ramsey's IU single-season completion percentage record of 66%. That was set just last year. As for Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights are 1-4 on the year, 0-3 in the conference. They have not won a conference game since November of 2017, and let's hope this is not the weekend they erase that mark. Scoring margin against Big Ten teams, they have given up 130 points and have scored 7. After a 1-3 start, Rutgers parted ways, firing coach Chris Ash and offensive coordinator John McNulty. The interim coach, Nunzio Campanelli. But in his first game in that role, he had a rude welcome to the Big Ten when Maryland lowered the boom on Nunzio and the Scarlet Knights' final score, 48-7. I don't know if the guy can coach or not, but I do like his name. It sounds old school. Nunzio Campanelli. And you can listen to Don Fisher's play-by-play call of that IU-Rutgers game this Saturday here on Big X Sports Radio at 12 noon. High school football moving into week number 8. Here's our lineup. Bedford North Lawrence, 2-5 on the year. They're at Floyd Central, 5-2 on the year. Clarksville at 1-6, at Corydon Central, 2-5. A winnable game for Clarksville in this one. Columbus East, 5-2. They're at Seymour, 4-3. Seymour, losers of their last three games, trying to right the ship. It won't be easy against Columbus East. Crawford County, 1-6 on the year. They're at North Harrison, 3-4. Edinburgh, 0-7 on the year. They're at Rock Creek Academy, 2-5. Jennings County, they'll play at Jeff. Jennings County, 3-4. Jeffersonville, 2-5. New Albany will be at Madison. New Albany, 2-5 on the year. Madison, 1-6. Providence on the road. They're 3-4. They're at Milan. Milan's 5-2. Salem, 5-2 on the year at Charlestown. They are 5-2 as well. Scottsburg on the road. They're 2-5. They're at Eastern Pekin in the Mid-Southern Conference. Eastern Pekin has not won a game, 0-7 on the year. And the marquee game, Silver Creek, 7-0, at Brownstown, also 7-0. This one for the conference championship should be a good one. That is the game of the week here on the Big X Sports Radio, starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. The 47th annual IHSAA Football State Tournament Pairing Show will take place this Sunday, October 13th, 5 p.m. It'll last for 2 hours, and Bob Lovell, Paul Condry, will be doing all of that information, getting it out to you on that night. Girls basketball, the first practice, October the 21st for high school girls basketball. First games allowed starting on November the 4th, and we'll be having more information about that, of course, as we get closer to high school basketball season. Braves and Cardinals ended up in a Cardinal 13-1 win when the Cardinals scored 10 first inning runs. What an amazing performance. And the Dodgers found a way to give it away last night. They had a 3-0 lead. Kershaw comes in relief and gives up back-to-back home runs to tie it. And Joe Kelly, no relation, comes in after a poor performance earlier in the week in relief and manages to find a way to load the bases and then give up a grand slam home run to Howie Kendrick, and the Dodgers' season is over. Washington and St. Louis open the NLCS series tonight, 8 o'clock in St. Louis. Quick turnaround in that one. Tampa Bay's at Houston tonight in Game 5 of that series to determine who will play the Yankees. So that's what's coming up for you. That's going to wrap it up for this segment, and we'll be back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall coming up here next on Big X Sports Radio, WXVW.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And good morning. Once again, Lee Kelly setting in for Matt Dennison here on the Hoosier Report. And with me this morning, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kelly. How are you doing?
Having a little technical difficulty with my audio. I can't hear Alex. While we work on that, we'll...
Can you hear me right now?
Or? Yes, now I've got you. I don't know what that was. All of a sudden, I thought I went deaf there for a moment, which is always a distinct possibility. But, yeah, hear you loud and clear. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
So far, so good. Let's see. First thing I want to ask you about, of course, Hoosier Hysteria. What were your thoughts coming away after the big presentation?
Well, as someone who sat through many years ago at Hoosier Hysteria that lasted upwards of 2.5 to 3 hours, I was actually pretty impressed with how quickly the night went. I think one of the great things that this coaching staff has done is kind of revamped the whole event. I liked the production quality of having that huge stage in one of the end zones, so to speak, of Assembly Hall, and the kind of the spruced up pyro and all that. And I also appreciated the fact that we got to see a short scrimmage, but all in all, I thought it was just a good way to kick off the season. I like the fact that it's now held in the afternoon, so that people from around the state and people with kids, in many ways, it's an event for recruits and kids, because obviously there's a recruiting aspect of it. But to me, it's good to see young Hoosier fans have a chance to get out to an event that's free, get a chance to see some of the players and get autographs and things like that. So overall, I was impressed with how the afternoon went, and got to see a little scrimmage. I would like to see maybe a little bit longer scrimmage, but I can't blame the coaching staff either for not wanting to. They had, I think, three guys that sat out for precautionary injury reasons, so I can't blame them for wanting to kind of limit the length of the scrimmage for that reason.
I read somewhere, could have been on Inside the Hall, that 10,000 approximately showed up to watch the Hoosier Hysteria. Sounds like a pretty nice crowd.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it wasn't, as we discussed last week, it wasn't going to be the same as the 2012-13 year or last year with Romeo. But, most of the lower level, for the most part, was filled up. And they had good, besides the fire alarm that went off midway through the player introductions, which could have been catastrophic if that would have gone on much longer than it did. But anytime you're, I think, setting off pyro at the rate that they were, I think you run the risk of that happening. So good to know, though, that the fire system in Assembly Hall is properly working in case there ever is a need to evacuate.
I understand. Well, we did have the first opportunity to see Jerome Hunter on the floor, and even though it was a short scrimmage and even though it was a scrimmage, it was good to read the accounts and to see this young man has at least reached this point healthy enough to do a few things like this. What was your take on his time on the floor?
First of all, just speaking as somebody who has watched this young man play since, before senior year of high school, and I don't know him well. I got to interview him a couple times as a high school player, know his AAU coach pretty well, but to kind of know what he went through last year, having basketball taken away from him, ripped away from him in many ways, because you can't ever prepare for something like what happened to him happening to you. It was just cool to see him out there, you know, putting the uniform on, running up and down, looking the part of a capable Big Ten basketball player. But I was impressed. I do think there's going to be a, and I've talked about this maybe with you and Matt before, I think there's going to be a period of time where he's going to have to get back into the swing of things and some real game action. And maybe in many ways it's good that Indiana's schedule in November is a little bit light, because there's going to be some opportunities, hopefully, for them to have some big leads and have some of the younger guys, and Jerome Hunter kind of fits in that category out there to play. But you know, I thought he looked as good as maybe he could at this point of the season. I mean, he was out there for the entire scrimmage. He looked to be moving around without any restrictions. Looked healthy. Was smiling afterwards when we talked to him. I hope that he's able to kind of continue in this path. I know they're going to be really cautious with him and just kind of, you know, this is a day-to-day thing. He may have days where he feels better than others, but I just think kind of based on what happened last year, the fact that we didn't see him all season, it was pretty mysterious, and we wondered that if he was ever going to actually play again. To see him out there for the entire Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage, I think it's a positive sign for not only him but for this team, because when I look at this team from top to bottom, the roster, I circle one or two guys who can ultimately change the trajectory or the ceiling of this team. He's right at the top, if not the top name on the list for that.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us here on Thursday as usual. And, Alex, you had a very nice article this morning on Inside the Hall about Race Thompson in your player profile series. And interesting reading. I had forgotten part of that information that you had on there. But he's another one that I look at, especially after reading your article, that is one of those players that might be on your list and might be closer to the top than the bottom, that a player that could come in and really help IU this upcoming season.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it hinges on what he can do besides just kind of, you know, mixing it up in the paint and getting, you know, the loose balls and the 50-50 balls and hustling. We know he can do all those things. We saw it when he returned last year. But can he do anything consistently beyond those things? Because I think the one challenge for him is you look at this roster, obviously the post is pretty well set with Trace Jackson Davis, Deron Davis, and Joey Brunk. And then also Justin Smith coming back, and he played the four for most of last season. Where does Race Thompson fit in after those guys? I think if he can, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't know about him, and I wrote about this a little bit, when I watched him at AAU playing for D1 Minnesota, he actually had a pretty nice touch in the mid-range. So if he can, you know, knock down the occasional shot, maybe step out and hit the occasional three, I think that helps his case for playing. He's a pretty good rebounder. He's definitely a guy that is well-liked by his teammates. I think there's a lot of respect for just kind of the way he likes to get in there, mix things up, and play aggressively and be physical. So I think that bodes well for him. But yeah, he's another guy that he's kind of forgotten because obviously he redshirted his first year, and then last year having that nasty concussion that almost kept him out for 3 full months. We saw him a little bit at the end of the season, but, as I wrote, in many ways, it's his third year at Indiana, but he's still – a newcomer. If you look at the minutes he's played total in college basketball, he hasn't logged, I don't think, more than 100 career minutes, which is not very much.
No, it really isn't. And he's a second year on campus player, redshirted his first year in reading your article. You know, I love reading your articles, but I enjoy reading the comments afterwards. I noticed one guy wanted to know if the basketball team works or practices yoga or ballet or martial arts, because he mentioned Race Thompson in particular was not real quick afoot and kind of lumbers around, he said. So the comments after your stories are always enjoyable as well on Inside the Hole.
Yeah, I pick my spots in terms of when I want to wait down there and get in the mix, because there's some topics that are where you get some, especially after a loss, it can get pretty ugly down in there. So, but yeah, I mean, in terms of Race Thompson specifically, you know, that comment, you know, I do know that one thing that Cliff Marshall has emphasized in the past, at least, was yoga, hot yoga, things like that. So, you know, he's a bigger guy. I mean, he's 6'8", 6'9". He's not necessarily what I would call an elite athlete. So his main thing, I think, is just going to be, can he do anything offensively outside of the paint? And is he going to play hard and hustle, which I think those two things are a given. So if he can bring anything offensively, I think that's kind of where he's going to earn his keep and get, you know, more than just spot minutes.
You know, the concussion situation, of course, across all sports and all ages of kids, but Race Thompson out for all of the months he was out. I looked online this morning. It said the average concussion is a 7 to 10 day thing. And it also goes on to say that it can vary from that greatly. And Fennessy had a concussion. He was out, I think, more than 7 to 10 days, and Race Thompson was out for months. I'm guessing it's one of those things that different people react in different ways, and there's different degrees or rates of concussion, I guess. But it certainly makes it interesting.
Yeah, and I think each school has different policies in place, based on how long those guys were out, it seems like Indiana's pretty strict on when they're going to let somebody return, and I applaud that, because there's probably a lot of schools that are more interested in getting guys back quickly and trying to figure out ways to win games by any way possible, whereas it seems like the approach that's been taken by Indiana in these situations is, let's make sure that we think about this person as not just a basketball player, but a human being beyond their career here, because that's in reality more important than winning, you know, a game or two extra by having this guy return. So if you go back in the archives on our site, there was a story that we kind of did at the end of the last season, wrapping up all the players and Race Thompson, some of his comments about his concussion and kind of what he went through are some pretty serious stuff. I mean, he basically insinuated that it was kind of a dark period for him, just in terms of being frustrated and not being able to get past some of the clearance things that Indiana wanted him to do to get back on the court. So it was definitely a very serious situation, and it's good to see him back and healthy, and hopefully he can stay that way, because, you know, his first year at Indiana, when he came onto campus, he was a little bit banged up that year too, and I think that was part of what went into him wanting to redshirt, was just to have that year to kind of get healthy and get acclimated to the college system and work on his body. And then he did all that, and then he got injured so early last season, it kind of ripped the whole season away from him. So he's got to be chomping at the bit to get out there and make a contribution.
We've talked a little bit about Jerome Hunter, and we've talked about Race Thompson. Anybody else in that brief scrimmage that gave you hope that they're ready to see more minutes or have improved greatly for the upcoming season, or was it just too short to even get a good read on anything else?
Yeah, it was too short, and, you know, there was a lot of walk-ons out there playing, so it's kind of hard to kind of read too much into how the scholarships guys fared against playing against walk-ons. But one guy that looked, I thought, really good, and obviously he's looked pretty good his first 2 years too, was Al Durham. And I think it's a big year for him, because he's obviously a voted a captain by his teammates, and I think they need him to not only continue to do what he's done in the past in terms of getting into the lane and drawing fouls, getting to the line, he's been really good at that, but I think they need him to become a consistent perimeter shooter. He's been good at times, but let's face it, Indiana last year as a three-point shooting team was not good, and that's an area that's going to have to improve in a big way, and I think Durham's a big part of that. So he looked to me like a guy who's ready to take another step forward, and just kind of knowing his background and his dad did a really good job of coaching him as a high school player on the AAU circuit and just kind of, you know, bringing him along. He's a guy that, to me, has improved every step of the way. I can just remember going back and watching him in high school a couple times and just seeing him now. He's gotten better, so I would expect he takes another leap forward this year, and I think he's definitely a guy that Indiana fans, maybe he's not at the top of the list when you kind of say who could be this team's leading scorer, but he's a guy I think is going to be consistently one of Indiana's most productive players on a game-to-game basis.
I enjoy watching him play. I think he's athletic, but I think he also is very motivated to team-type player that I enjoy watching. And then I think he's one that you can watch going back to his freshman year, how much improvement he has had along the way in his career at IU to this point.
Yeah, and I don't think he was the guy either that was originally recruited when, you know, the previous recruiting coaching staff recruited him. I don't think he was necessarily one of those guys that you thought was going to come in and play a ton right away. You know, Purdue has done a really good job of recruiting some guards where they kind of bring them along slowly, and Durham was forced into a bigger role maybe than expected early in his career. But I think now that he's had all this experience, I think this is when maybe we start to see some of that pay off, because now he's an older player. He's gone through some tough times the last 2 years in terms of just, you know, losing games in the Big Ten. Now he's an upperclassman, and now it's kind of like it's his time to shine. I think he's going to do that this year in a big way.
Is there anything, by the way, we're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. And, Alex, do we read anything into Fennessy Davis and Green being held out of the scrimmage on Saturday? Anything more than just that they held him out of the scrimmage?
No, and they told us beforehand, right before the event started, that those guys weren't going to participate. And I think it's with what this team went through last year with injuries, I think if there's any situation where a guy's just a little bit nicked up or isn't feeling 100%, that you don't push it right now. There's a little less than 4 weeks before the regular season actually tips off now, and they want to have everybody available because November is important. I mean, there's not a ton of marquee games, but I think Indiana's got to get through the month of November, but virtually unscathed. You know, I think the expectation is that they win all their games that month, because they have to probably win 20-21 games to make the NCAA tournament, and November is going to kind of lay the foundation for that. So I don't think it was anything other than precautionary with all those guys. Each of them has gone through various injury situations over the last year, and you want to have them ready for the start of the season. I expect that they will. Indiana said that they don't have any major injuries at this point. It was just guys being held out for precautionary reasons. So I think that's what we saw.
Yeah, I started to say that November very important, or early season very important, in building up the confidence of this particular group of young men, but last year they got off to a good start, and then ceiling caved in on them. So I'm not sure. I agree with you 100%. It is very important they get out and win those games as far as for the tournament. But I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Recruiting updates. Tell me about anything that has come up. I know you and Matt follow this much closer than I do, but anything that has broken out since we last talked last Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're working on talking to all the guys who are edges or steady. We haven't published anything yet, but I think we've talked to three of the five that were there between the two guys that are already committed in Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, and then you had the 2021 kids and Christian Lander, Trey Kaufman, and Caleb First. They all were there for visits. Lander's was an official, while the other two were unofficial visits. And then this weekend, Indiana's going to have a forward by the name of Trey Patterson out of New Jersey, who's like a top 35, top 40-ish kid. He's going to be taking a junior year official visit to Bloomington. So that's a good opportunity for them to get somebody on campus for homecoming weekend and hopefully an IU football win and a good atmosphere. But, you know, the thing is, everyone wants updates on Kaufman and Lander and First, but the reality is those guys have probably another year to go if not more, before they decide. You think about their juniors right now. If any of them follow the Romeo path, it could be April of 2021 before they make a decision. So I think right now is just with those guys is building the best relationship that you can, getting them on campus as many times as you can, whether it be for official visit or like we saw with Kaufman earlier this fall, and then getting them back for another unofficial visit, I think is a positive, but still a long way to go with all those younger kids. And I expect them to all go through the process. You know, all those guys have most of the Big Ten schools. And in the case of Kaufman, I think you got Kentucky now involved in Louisville. So he's going to have his choice of places to go. And, you know, I think if Indiana would be doing really well for themselves out of those three names, if they could get one or two of them, I think they'd be in really good shape for 2021.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if I try to put myself in the place of a 16, 17-year-old kid, which is very difficult, but I think they're watching to see what the upcoming season holds for not only IU, but IU in particular as far as on the floor, and then possibly some of the repercussions from the legal issues going on with some teams around the country. But I think it's a wait-and-see period to see how things turn out. At least that's how I would envision it or would direct if I were the parent of one of these outstanding players.
Yeah, and I think if you're an Indiana fan, you have to feel pretty good about where the program is from that standpoint right now, because they've emerged from most of this so far, at least from the NCAA investigations of what we think is going to happen, unscathed. So if some of these other programs do get ultimately hit with a postseason ban or scholarship reductions, that could ultimately play in to the favor of a program like Indiana that hasn't really been involved with any of that. So we'll see how it plays out in the long haul. But I mean, I agree. It's hard for me to put myself in the shoes of a kid, but I've said this before, going back to the Romeo recruitment. If I was a top 50, top tier player with a chance to go anywhere, I would wait as long as possible to make a decision, unless I was 100% sure that's where I wanted to go. Because as time goes on, things change quickly. You also get the opportunity to go visit a lot of different places, see what you like, see what you don't like, build relationships over a long period of time. And we saw, kind of going back to Tom Crean, if you remember, Trey Lyles and James Blackman Jr. committed so early, and everyone thought that was a good thing. Ultimately, they were able to keep Blackman Jr. after he decommitted, but Lyles opted to go elsewhere. So it's not always – I think it's better for the kids and for the programs when guys wait a little bit longer to commit, because – you make sure that both sides are on the same page.
Absolutely. Alex, thank you very much for joining us as usual on Thursday. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and good luck.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, segment number two, and we're going to be back in just a moment with the Director of Athletics at Indiana University Southeast. We'll be talking with Joe Glover, finding out a little bit about what's going on out on the campus at IUS. And then back to talk one final time after Joe Glover. So Lee Kelly sitting in for Matt Dennison here on the Hoosier Report on Big X Sports Radio, WXVW.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And once again, Lee Kelly subbing for Matt Dennison. Matt will be back with you tomorrow. Our final guest today here in segment three, Joe Glover, Director of Athletics at Indiana University Southeast. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on with us. I know you're busier than a one-armed paper hanger with hives out there, so a lot of things going on at IUS athletically, and looks like it's been a good year so far. Tell me a little bit about the fall sports program at IUS and how things are going.
Well, yeah, Lee, it's actually been a really busy time for us here this fall. Things are going great. Our volleyball team is probably our program that has the most fall involvement, and they are doing wonderfully well. 16-4 starting out on the year, 5-1 in the conference. One of the best starts we've had probably since 2005 in our volleyball program. Coach Brian and our team have really stepped it up this year and are playing great. You know, it's about midway through the volleyball season, but they have really just had an excellent season, and they're going to be starting the real heart of their conference play here in the next few weeks. So things will really start picking up for them, and time will tell. But so far, it looks like we're really poised well for the postseason in volleyball. We've also had tennis that plays a little bit of a fall schedule, and they've been doing well, kind of getting ready for their main season in the springtime. And both our men's and women's tennis programs are doing well. And we've also had this year more fall softball. The NAI has kind of allowed our softball program to play more scrimmages in the fall with the weather being a little bit better, and they've been doing that. And you know, we've got a lot of new faces on that softball team, a lot of freshmen this year and transfers, and it's been really good to see them on the field getting some action in the fall before their main season starts in the spring.
Joe, tell me what else is going on out at IUS. It seems like every time I talk to you, you've added something new. You're talking about new facilities. You're looking at adding coaches. You're just always something going on out there. Anything you can share with us that is coming up in the near future?
Yeah, sure. You know, one of the things we're always looking to do is to improve our facilities for our student-athletes. That's something that we're always looking to do. And right now we're working on just some facility improvements down at baseball and softball, looking to add new batting cages for the athletes down there, looking to do a resurface project on the softball field just to get the infield skin a little bit nicer for the team and kind of restore that back to pristine condition for the players. And if anyone's been down Hostel Lane, they've seen our baseball and softball fields down there. We take a lot of pride in keeping them in immaculate condition and trying to make sure they're the very best for our student athletes, and that takes a lot of work and a lot of time and really just dedication to making sure that they're the very best, and so we're working on some projects down there that we're excited about. As far as new additions, you know, one of the things I've had a lot of calls about in the community is talking about the next sports for IU Southeast. You know, what does the future look like? We've had some conversations about soccer and had some conversations about cross country and even golf, and it's one of those things where we're really trying to evaluate what's best, and then also looking at strategic funding initiatives to be able to cover those costs. But as you know, it always takes a community and takes a village to do that, to add programs, and so at this point we're still kind of working with community partners and looking for community support to help us look at those options. We're a little bit closer to see if we can't add to the rich tradition we already have here.
We're talking with Joe Glover, the Director of Athletics at Indiana University Southeast. And Joe, it would seem that your location right here in the Louisville metropolitan area it makes it a little bit difficult. You've got the University of Louisville across the river, Bellarmine across the river, and a number of other small colleges that have athletics as well, and then a lot of people in this area are either IU or U of K fans, so it would seem it would be difficult for you to get the word out about IUS sometimes, and tell me how you go about doing that, because when I look at other members of the River States Conference that you belong to, some of them are kind of in an isolated area where they don't have that same competition around them, but how do you go about it? When I look at your website, you've got all kinds of social media things going on. I know you've looked into streaming some video of athletics and so on. So how do you get the word out about all the good things going on at IUS?
Well, I tell you what, you're exactly right. There is a lot of competition for entertainment dollars in our market, and it's a blessing and a curse. It's one of the things we always talk about. I have a saying that people have heard me say. I always wonder if Indiana University Southeast was located in Cordon, Indiana, instead of New Albany, what the fan experience would look like. Just because of being out of the metro area a little bit more, what that would look like being in a smaller town. But at the end of the day, we are blessed to be here in New Albany, and I tell you, getting the word out is one of those things that's always a constant battle. It's constantly changing. Social media is a big piece of it. The video is a big piece. Word of mouth, honestly, is probably even better. Just getting the word out that we do have an athletic program that's thriving here and that it's affordable. You know, a lot of times there is a lot of competition for entertainment dollars in Louisville, but it's when you look at the price and what it costs to be able to have those opportunities, a family of four can come and enjoy one of our games at a very reasonable price and be able to afford it and be able to get concessions as well and be able to hang out with the family. So we always tell people that we are a really great entertainment option that's affordable for the whole family, and really it's just getting out there and talking and telling our story. And our athletes do a tremendous job. The more that they win and the more that they're involved in our community, the more that they give back, the more we get back. And so we really put a big focus on that. You know, it's Harvest Homecoming Week here in Southern Indiana and New Albany, and you'll see many of our athletes out working that event in their IU Southeast gear at the Kiwanis free throw booth. They'll be down there, our softball team, and those are great ways to kind of get our message out there. Well, just being among the community, being out there, giving back, and that really pays dividends for us.
Joe Glover, Director of Athletics at Indiana University Southeast. IUS, as I mentioned earlier, a member of the River States Conference, and that's a relatively new conference. And how many members and how are things going conference-wise for the whole conference and for IUS?
Yeah, so we've got 13 members in the River States Conference. It's grown tremendously. We're actually looking at adding some new members. We've got a few schools that are in exploratory status with us right now, and the conference really keeps getting more competitive each year. In basketball, which is probably our premier sport, we had three to four teams, depending on the time of the year, in the top 25 in the NAI national standings, and really become a powerhouse within the NAI basketball world, and even in all of our other sports and different Olympic sports. We have teams from our conference that are representing very well at the national tournament. We're looking forward to continuing to grow the conference and continuing to become better. We push each other. It used to be back probably about 10 years ago, we really kind of knew who was going to win the conference in each sport day in and day out. Now we do not. It really is a battle in every sport, and it's less likely that you're going to know who's going to be standing with the trophy at the end of the year. And there's a lot of fun with that. I think conference championships mean more to the student athletes when there's a little bit of battling going back and forth, and then we all help each other, become better student athletes, and hopefully represent us at the national tournament a little bit more fiercely than we've been able to in the past.
Joe Glover, Director of Athletics for IUS, with us this morning here on the Hoosier Report. And Joe, I saw an article in the paper, and the enrollment for IUS was listed around 4,800. I'm assuming that's probably full and part-time students combined. How does your enrollment compare with the other 12 members of the River States Conference?
Well, we're actually probably one of the largest as far as enrollment goes. Some of the colleges in our conference are a little bit smaller. They're smaller private schools with, between 500, 600, even 1,000 students. So we're probably one of the larger ones within the conference framework, which again is a good thing for us. But it's also one of those things that does create a little bit of a challenge for us, just because with some of our competitors, at the private schools, the tuition dollars are a little bit higher than some. Sometimes they can give a little bit extra in scholarships. A lot of those smaller schools and private schools in our conference, they really use athletics as an enrollment management tool. Without getting too far in the weeds and putting all the listeners asleep, they really use that as a way to kind of keep the enrollment up. The more sports they add, the more student athletes they add, really the more that the school remains viable, and the more that they can do. So student athletes really run the show as far as the financial model goes at the smaller private schools. Here at IU Southeast, athletics is less of the overall financial model, but also very important to the overall public image and student experience here. So a little bit different approach to it, but again, the enrollment does help, obviously, and it definitely helps with fan support. So we obviously enjoy that.
Joe, one thing, and I don't know how this would affect, I don't know how it's going to affect anybody, but the recent California law about allowing players to use their name and image and so on to make money. I know you're at the NAIA level, but Have your conference and the NAIA even talked about this? And I know people would think, well, maybe, you know, we don't have any players that are going to be able to do this, but you never know. You've had kids drafted by Major League Baseball and other players that have done a really nice job and got their name out there. I mean, anyway, have you had any conversations about what this might mean at the upper levels and down all the way to you guys?
Oh, without a doubt we have. You know, it's funny that you asked this, Lee. A lot of people don't know this, so I'm really glad that you asked this question. About 3 years ago, we actually, I was actually a part of a small group of athletic directors that petitioned the NAIA to change our rules ahead of the NCAA, and it did get a lot of coverage, but we actually had a situation where we had a women's basketball player who was a model and was trying to earn money in her modeling career and could not because she was using her image and her likeness to make money, and it was against at that time, the NAIA rules, similar to what the NCAA is, using your image and likeness to earn revenue. And really the only reason why she wasn't able to do it was because she was a student athlete. And I thought that was wrong at the time, and had a couple other athletic directors join with me, and we actually had that rule replaced in the NAIA and removed. And so a lot of people aren't aware, but in the NAIA, that student athletes can earn revenue off their image and likeness, as long as it doesn't affect their amateur status as far as professional sports and so forth. So it's actually a great change that was made a few years ago. It didn't get a lot of coverage at the time, obviously, being a smaller college association. But now that the California situation has come out with the NCAA, it's actually gotten a little bit more coverage again, that we were kind of on the leading edge of that, saying, hey, you know, this isn't right. Our student athletes should be able to have the same constitutional rights as our other students on campus who are able to earn a little bit of income off their image and likeness. So, it's apples and oranges, of course, when you're talking about NCAA and the NAIA as far as the amount of dollars and the sponsorships, but I think the principle still applies that we need to be treating our student athletes similar to what we do our other students on campus. And we've had a lot of conversations. You know, California, we joke, and a little bit we were talking and said, so who's reached out to the UCLA and asked them to join the NAIA this week because of the upcoming legislation. But, it's obviously going to be a big deal for the NCAA. I think that there's no doubt that the face of college athletics is changing. And I think anyone that says they know what the future holds in the next 5 years and that they know what the college athletic landscape is going to look like, I think would be just guessing at this point. I think there's going to be a lot of change coming. And I don't know if any of us has the pulse of where it's headed, but I think all the way from Division III to NAIA to Division II to the big players in Division I and the Power Five, I think we're going to have to see a lot of change in the landscape. And unfortunately, hopefully for the better, but I think in the next 10 years, college athletics is going to look much different than it does today.
And I'm not sure that's all a bad thing at the D1 level especially. I'm not sure that's all bad.
I would agree with you. I think sometimes we do need to evaluate things and continue to evaluate them. And, you know, I think the one thing that makes me a little bit more nervous for smaller colleges is the financial model. I think I've always said this, if you really want to see what a true student athlete looks like, you know, those student athletes are on our campus in New Albany here at IU Southeast, or they're at institutions like Spalding in Louisville, Division III institution. Those true student athletes are at the smaller colleges at the small college level. And I really think when they talk about sport and what intercollegiate sport was always meant to be, those are the students they're really thinking about. So they've got to figure out what they're going to do. Obviously the Power Five schools have a lot of the revenue, and when you have the revenue, you have more of the influence. But I think there's some approaches that could be used to be able to make things right and to be able to really help those on both sides of the aisle. But whatever we do, I hope that the small college athletics isn't minimized in that, and the value that it brings to our society and to our local communities isn't minimized, because I think there's a lot of good that happens at small college athletics levels. And I think that that's going to be okay in the long run, but you just never know.
Joe, thank you very much for being with us. Tell me how people can find out about your athletic event schedule and how they can follow IUS Athletics, please.
Yeah, the best way is on our amazing website. You mentioned it earlier. It's iusathletics.com. Again, www.iusathletics.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. So we're on all the social media platforms. Just look up IUS Athletics. Also, our good partners at the News and Tribune do a great job of covering us. You can always read about stories in there about what our student-athletes are doing. But for up-to-date schedules, again, always tell people to hit our website, iusathletics.com.
Joe Glover, Director of Athletics for Indiana University Southeast. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. What's going on out at IUS, Joe?
No problem, Lee. Thanks again for all the support. Thanks for all that you and WXBW do for us. And we couldn't do it without you. We appreciate it.
And getting ready to wrap up this Thursday show, we thank Alex Mozich of Inside the Hall and Joe Glover of Indiana University Southeast, the Director of Athletics there, for joining us today. Been a nice show. We've enjoyed it. Thank you to Matt Dennison for letting me set in today, and Matt will be back with you tomorrow morning here on the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, IU football coming up this Saturday. They take on Rutgers, and Rutgers, coached by interim coach Nunzio Campanelli. Just wanted to say his name one more time. Love that name. IU looking for victory number 4 on the season. Don Fisher will have all the play-by-play for you on Saturday beginning at 12 noon here on Big X Sports Radio. Also, a reminder, football at the high school level reaches week number 8 tomorrow night. And our featured game here on Big X Sports Radio, Silver Creek at Brownstown. Both of them are 7-0. And this really is for the conference championship. Silver Creek has never defeated Brownstown in football. So it looks like a good one. And I hope you join us for all the action here tomorrow night. So thank you again to Matt Dennison for letting me set in here on the Hoosier Report on Big X Sports Radio, WXVW.